Hey, good morning. Hannah's doing a great job. Thank you, Hannah, for hosting this meeting.
Thank you.
I appreciate anybody who takes this kind of project on, because I did it a few years out at the Coastal. I know Ash did it before I was, he was there on, as VP of the Coastal Region. And it's really intimidating to try to put together a meeting and get the facility, get the sponsors, get the speakers, get everything lined up. And I sure appreciate Hannah's work on all of this. I'm gonna try to keep it fairly brief. If any of you know me, I always call people up and say, hey, do you got a couple minutes? And they know that's gonna be about 20 to 30 minute phone call, because I enjoy visiting with people and networking. I'm from Carolina East, and that's in New Bern, North Carolina, and I've been there for 5 years. And for some of you who maybe know me, my history, I actually come from the Midwest. I've been in New Bern for 5 years, and every patient who comes into our program, I get to meet them. I actually do all of our consultations at the hospital before they get discharged, and so I get to meet the patients usually first. And a lot of times they'll say, you're not from around here, are you? And I have to say, no, how can you tell? Because they say, you talk funny. And so I always say, well, where do you think I'm from? And in 5 years, I've never had anybody guess correctly the state I originally came from. And it's South Dakota. And so people go, well, what got you out here? And so I kind of found this to help me explain it to them. Okay, and that's actually the truth. And so people, and then when I kind of explain this to them, they go, say no more. We understand. And actually, this is Christmas Day back in 09. That's me. We had company coming for Christmas Day, so I had to get the driveway and the sidewalk cleared. Yeah, the wind came up, blew it all closed. I had to go out and do it again later. So anyway. I do want to talk about our national meeting. Show of hands, who was at Charleston a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago? Awesome. I've been involved with the AACVPR since 1991, I think was the first meeting I ever got to go to. And I probably say this every year, I think this year's was the best meeting I've ever been to. You know, the sponsors, the exhibit hall, the presenters, the networking. Somewhere along that conference, usually I kind of start running out of gas, and you kind of start, you know, doing this and wondering if I really want to stay for the afternoon sessions or not. And I've got to admit, I really didn't have that feeling at all this year. When I do get to come back, and unfortunately, you know how it is with budgets, not everybody gets to go to the conference. So you come back and you share with your staff. And so, you know, there's so much information. And so I try to, you know, do with those nuggets, you know, what are the nuggets or the main speaking points or whatever. So I kind of wanted to share a little bit what I thought those were this year. And I really appreciated, you know, Murray Lowe. If you haven't ever been to his presentation, how many went to Lowe's presentation? They finally gave him a big enough room, because usually it's standing room, sitting room, crouching room only, and they finally put him in a ballroom this year. And I really appreciate a lot of the information he shared, as well as so many other speakers. But some of the things that, you know, I heard and brought back to the staff, and I kind of tied this into Wayne Sutil's talk that closed the conference, is how comfortable we get with our routines. And I love the thing that Wayne had us all do this. Fold, and I'll have you do it. If you were there, you'll know what I'm going to do. Fold your arms. Go ahead and just fold your arms. All right. Now do it the other way. And yeah, I can't. See, I tucked this one. It's hard. And he goes, and then after you did it, I said, how's that feel? Weird. Doesn't feel. So how would you like to? I want to fold them this way. Because why? It's the way I've always done it that way. And that's comfortable for me. And so what I've kind of learned and what we shared with our staff is, I think we get comfortable in our routines, the way we do it, because it's worked, and we think that's good enough. You know, we're getting through. But what I really was hearing about how, you know, inactivity is such a major risk factor, and I really appreciate the speakers who said, you know, the doctors focus so much on blood pressure, cholesterol, you know, blood sugar. Those things are very important, very important. How often do they screen their patients for respiratory fitness? You know, you say, well, yeah, they give them stress tests. Yeah, they do for a select group of people, but for overall health, it's really the key. I remember one of the stats is for every med you can increase a patient, you decrease their 1 year mortality by 25%. So to take somebody at, you know, and you all know what 6 minute walks come in, what do they have? Two meds? You know, and they're like, they're done. And maybe we can get them to what? Three, four, five meds by discharge if we encourage them and develop and bring them along. A 50 to 75% drop in 1 year mortality. And as Maury Lowe would say, you can't find a medication that's gonna give you those kind of results. And we can show those kind of results in like 12 weeks if we get the opportunity. The thing I was really challenged by is weekly progression. There was one speaker who said, and I wish I could remember who it was, he said, you know, your patient should be progressing every week. And a lot of times, you know, as I went back and talked to our staff, you know, we have those patients who head into the new step, do a little warm up, and level four, 30 minutes. And a week goes by. And you go over and say, how's it going? I go, oh, this feels good. Oh, okay, good. Second week goes by. Maybe we should try level five. No. I tried level five once. I didn't like it. And so, you know, you're kind of like, well, I don't want to push them too much. They're coming. We better just kind of, and I look back and I see them go week after week after week at level four for 30 minutes on the new step. And so one of the things I challenge my staff is, you know, we need to be at least having a conversation every week. And somebody mentioned about 30-day reviews. And I know I do a 6 minute walk at the beginning. We do a 6 minute walk at the end. Somebody said, well, we do 6 minute walks every 30 days. And I kind of thought, what? You know, why would you do that for? They go, it's a really good indication. Are we progressing? And it tells the patient, well, you walked 800 feet that first day you were here. Remember that? And they go, yeah, but kill me. Now let's see how you're doing. And if they're not showing any progression because they've been sitting on the new step at level four for the last 4 weeks and they're a little, you know, just comfortable doing their regular routine, this might be a real good opportunity for us to kind of talk about how important walking is and what are you going to be doing when you leave our program anyway. A lot of them aren't going to be able to buy new steps and, you know, and do that at home. And so we're actually just kind of in the last week started initiating 6 minute walks as part of the 30-day review. I don't know if any of you got to Dr. O, I think is how you pronounce O-H, from Canada. I think he's been at AACVPR for 4 or 5 years. The first time I'd ever gone to his presentation, and it reminded me of Maury Lowe a few years ago. It was standing room only in Dr. O's conference room. It was a room about this size, and you couldn't find a place to sit and barely to stand. And I think he'll be back, so they're gonna need to give him a bigger room. But he shared their program, he's a medical doctor, on their education program, something I know I've kind of been like this with for the last 5 years. We've been doing the same education classes since I've been at Caroline East. I teach two classes, the nurse teaches two classes, the dietitian teaches a class, and the clinical psychologist teaches a class. And, you know, we think we're teaching them what they want to hear. And as Dr. O pointed out, do you ever survey your patients and ask them what they want to learn? And he said, we didn't. And he shared, he said, we had an anatomy and physiology class. That was our number one, first class. We wanted to teach you how your heart works and sometimes how it doesn't work. And guess what? That didn't even come close when they surveyed their patients, what they wanted to learn about. They wanted to learn about medications, number one. They wanted to learn about emergency procedures. What do I do if I'm lightheaded, dizzy, if I start having chest? That was their second class they wanted to have. And so we went back and I talked to my medical director who is very supportive of our program, signs a ton of documents, and I made a request of him, would you be willing to teach a 1 hour class once a month? And I was always kind of afraid because they're busy, busy. And you know what he said? Sure, I'd be happy to do that. And I asked him, I said, would you focus on heart medications? Because guess who's writing all the scripts? He's a cardiologist. And so they write, and so I said, Joe, I want you to focus on those, the statins, the aspirin, the beta blocker, the Plavix, the blood thinners. You know, those are the ones that just about 80% of the patients are all taking some variation of that. And you know, start with that and then you can make it a potpourri doc, you can talk whatever you want, because I'm afraid the first class we're gonna have to get a really big room, because and he said, now they're only gonna come hear me once, right? Because they'll probably use the same jokes over and over. And I said, yeah, so that first class is gonna be huge. We're gonna start this in January. And so again, you know, kind of taking a look at our education program, and I've asked each of them, and I'm doing it to my classes, is there anything we should look at? You know, and Dr. O talked about how we have so many different learning styles. We use the lecture PowerPoint format. We also give them a book. He said, well, that's great. Some people don't want to come to listen to a lecture. And some people like to learn that way. And if you give them the book, some people never open it. Some people say, just give me the book and I'm not coming to your lecture. So that's great. You're giving them, you know, two different options. But he goes, what about video? What about computer-based? And so he shared his healtheuniversity.ca. Write that down. Health, the letter E, not Y, but E. University.ca, I guess it's for Canada. And that's their link to their website. I went to it. It's not locked. It's not like you have to have a username, password, or anything. All their materials are just sitting there available for you to, you know, to look through, to use. I almost said steal, borrow. I think, you know, that's, he didn't seem to have a real problem of sharing information. And he presented a ton of research on that. So I think, you know, in his whole thing with education is education should, our intent is to change behavior. I always kind of, you know, well, it's to impart knowledge, actually, but if the knowledge doesn't go anywhere, what's the purpose? And so how are we formatting it to help people change or encourage them to change? Also then, I also always try to go to the anything with a psychologist. You know, the exercise I always tell people is not rocket science. That's not too tough. I teach exercise class, and most of the time I talk about motivation because people know what to do, they just don't do it. So we kind of talk about why they should be doing it. You know, diet, nutrition, I think we try to make that complicated. I know I try not to. I tell them eat all the fruits and vegetables you can get your hands on, all the whole grains you can get your hands on, and let's see how things go. Yeah, so it sounds easy, it's not. But when it gets to stress and anxiety, I pull out my hair, because I always tell every patient, I need this class more than you guys do. But, you know, I can't remember the speaker's name, 10 to 16% of the general population at any one time is anxious or depressed. Kind of like me before I have to come up here and talk to you guys, all right? Anxious. Well, our heart cardiac patients, they said, you know, research says 30 to 50. They said that's probably underestimated because a lot of people won't admit it, you know, when they survey them and stuff. So it's probably even higher than that. So, you know, this is a major, major health impact on them and their behavior. And so how are we trying to address that? And I love the speaker. She said cardiac rehab is the perfect laboratory to work with patients that are anxious and depressed. We really got them right where we want them. Because we're going to help educate them to the process of how that affects them and help them to gain what she called normalization. What's the new normal for them? Because life is really turned upside down. I really encourage this. She said, you know, your exercise should always be a successful experience. I don't care if you show up and do half of what we wanted you to do that day, you showed up and you did something. You're going to get a pat on the back. I mean, it's positive, positive, positive. And people will say, oh, I feel so bad. I usually can do this and that. And it's like, no, it's all good. I always tell them, you know, I love to bicycle. I don't ride the same speed every day. There's some days that I get out there, man, I feel great, and I go fast. Some days I get out there, and I just want to get through it and get it. You know, it's not always going to be but when I get done with whatever bike ride, I got out there and rode my bike. I'm happy. You know, I feel good about it. So we always try to encourage people that, you know, just coming, doing what you can, that's our definition of success. This, I'm preaching to the choir, you know, the speaker talks so passionately about the social support, not only from us, but from their peers. You know, they're all in there together, they buddy up. It's just amazing to me, some of the ones that come in and they're just so, you know, you can tell this is the last thing that they want to do, and how some of those turned into such ardent supporters of your program and will praise it to the high heavens and tell everybody about it. And it's kind of organic. It's hard to create that. They gave some ideas about, you know, trying to, we use volunteers in our program. Former patients come back, go through our volunteer hospital process. They come back and we usually have a volunteer there every day. We love our volunteers because they're former patients. They're obviously very positive people. They want to come help us. And they clean equipment. As soon as somebody gets off a piece of, the volunteers usually are always gloved up, standing there with one of these little Clorox peroxide wipes in their hands, and they wear their blue vest. And they're so good about saddling up to a new person and go, hey, I don't know if I've seen you here before. And then that's my second day or whatever it is. And they'll say, I remember what my second day was like. You don't know what's going on, do you? Because they're kind of, we have 16 people in a class, and you know, we try to give them a lot of attention, but sometimes they want, here's a peer, somebody that's been here, done it, and they'll come up alongside them and encourage them and answer their questions. We give direction and purpose because right now their lives have no direction and they're wondering what the purpose is of what they're going through. trying to develop a level of mindfulness, and it's basically an acceptance. It's a new, as they call it, a new narrative. And that's tough. You know, I'm sure it's those five stages of grief, you know, that they're going through, and we're, you know, how are we going to help get them through to that last stage of acceptance? What can I do? You know, and they can, a lot of them are just feeling at a loss. And so I think we can help really do to bring them back to what they want to do, because they don't know for sure what they can do. They spoke highly on telemetry. I know whenever I go to this meetings, where there's more and more talk about less and less telemetry. But initially, I know our program, we use telemetry on everyone the first 12 sessions. That's just kind of our protocol. Unless there's a reason, we're going to discontinue telemetry after the 12th session. And we were really nervous to start doing this. We started doing it 2 years ago. And we found the patients love to not wear telemetry. It's a day of celebration. They'll ask, when do I? Because they see other people coming off of them, and they say, when do I get it off? You know, and really, the 12 is not a magic number. We can take it off. In fact, I just talked to my medical director and got approval that we can do it after 6 sessions now. And as a group, we're gonna individualize that. We're kind of 6 to 12, but he was in agreement. You know, he said that unless there's a reason they need to have telemetry on, that they have some rhythm issues that you're wanting to monitor, that we want you to monitor, he didn't see it as a issue. He said, I'm gonna let you guys decide how often. He goes, 6 sounds like a good initial starting point, 6 to 12. I think that was really important, those first few sessions, because they're scared. They're not, you know, they think they're going to break, something bad's going to happen. And so that telemetry, we're able to watch your heart's functioning, the electronic activity of your heart and all that, your heart rate, and they think it's fantastic. Space, you know, science fiction. But it doesn't take them long to realize they're not going to break, they're not going to die, everything's going well. And so they said, you know, she saw the use of telemetry as a very positive thing initially to help get through that anxiety. Then we find it as a very positive thing when we don't have to. It really gives them like, we're comfortable with you. We don't think there's any issue that you need to wear it. We've had a handful of people that have asked, can they continue to wear it? And we said, sure. Why? And they just, well, I just feel better and all that. So we'll have that discussion with them. You know, because the day is going to come where you're not going to come here anymore. But yeah, let's keep it on for a little while longer, if that's what you want to do. Supervised exercise. I mean, I think that's the insecurity that so many of them are afraid. They're not sure what to do, how hard, what all that, and that's our job. But you know, as one person said, we need to expose them to exertion. So when they get real comfortable at that level 4 on the new stuff because it feels good, that's wonderful. You know what, but to get a little better, you've adapted to that now. You want to get better? Well, yeah. Well, then we need to go up another level, and it's going to take a little effort. There is effort involved. You know, I always tell my patients, you ever heard the saying, no pain, no gain? And they'll go, yeah. And I'll go, yeah, forget about it. Ours is no pain, no pain. But there is effort involved, but it shouldn't be discomfort. I mean, if you're getting to that level, let's have a visit. Some people like discomfort. They're called men. And I always tell patients, you know why women live longer than men? Because women are smarter than men. I said, I can say that because I am one. Men have prideful and macho and ego, and if they do level whatever, 7 on the new step, and they come in feeling like, you know what, they're going to do level 7 come hell or high water, because that's what I always do. And so we have to have that conversation with them about, you know, it's okay to push it once in a while, but not every day. We also want to share our outcomes with the patients and their progress. They love to hear that stuff. I always kind of finish up, because we usually finish up with Wayne Satil. I love this quote from him. I don't know if he made this up or he presents this every year. A hero is someone who makes a safe space for others. So you got to kind of think about that one. I hear about safe space on the news all the time now, but you know, and I think we make safe spaces, I hope we do, for our patients. And patients make safe patients for their people on the machines next to them and stuff. You know, encouragement, that sort of thing. Wayne shared about, you know, developing resilience in our patients, but resilience in all of us. The quality of the relationship with the provider, and daily uplifts versus daily hassles. Anybody know what a daily uplift is? Hannah, you did a great job with that introduction today. Way to go. And that's true. And that's an uplift. I hope you. And then she goes, instead of saying, gee, Hannah, you kind of rushed through your introduction. And, you know, that would be a day, that would be up downer. And who would ever do that? But people, our life seems to bombard us sometimes with the daily hassles. As a staff person, you know all about those. I think Wayne's thing, and I don't know if this is research-based, said you need about 3 uplifts for every daily hassle. You think it should be a one-to-one? Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Because the daily hassle really gets on our back and just weighs us down. Where the little daily uplift is cool, But you need about three of them to help balance that one negative hassle. And so, you know, and this was a challenge not for us to help us with our patients, but for ourselves, which I always appreciate. So he listed what he called daily uplifts, things that provide these. Joy, gratitude, serenity, hope, amusement, one of my favorites, inspiration. I like that word awe. I like the word awesome. Man, that was awesome. You did awesome. You know, and people are like, really? And I go, yeah. You know, you're here. That's awesome. You know, you don't want to be, you know, so fake about it. They say, yeah, what a bunch of, he's blowing smoke. But no, you know, if you really get that attitude that just people are awesome. I like the bottom one too, love. So what gives me uplifts? That's my family. I always like to share stuff. I think it's cool when you can kind of learn a little bit about each other. It's my son-in-law way on the far left, and then is my daughter, his wife, me and my wife, our oldest daughter, our son, and my grandson. And so, you know, we go down to Atlantic Beach every year and spend a week, and that's a huge uplift. I also like to ride bike. In case you don't get to know me, you'll find that out. This is down in Seneca, South Carolina. There's a bike event down there called the Titan 300. 300 miles, 3 days, 30,000 feet of climbing. Yeah, it's a riot. I shared this with patients, and I said, I'm not bragging. And they'll go, well, are you insane? And I go, maybe. But I go, why do you think I do that? And they usually go, because you enjoy it? Yes, I said, it's fun. For me, that's fun. So we try to say, you know, find things that develop fun into your life. My staff, that's our team. Obviously, it was Go Pink for women with breast cancer. And I find them very uplifting for me, because I get to watch them interact with our patients. And I'm not going to say everything's rosy and everybody gets along all the time, but we're pretty tight. Everybody's very supportive. It's kind of like a family. And so if you're working with coworkers and they give you uplifts, value, nurture that. We have a lot of fun. Halloween is Tuesday. This is last year. Yes, we do dress up for Halloween. And now that we're in the clinic, it's a lot easier. We're at the hospital and I have to round. Yeah, it's kind of... I actually did round last year with that outfit on. And before I'd go into patient's room, I'd knock on the door and they'd go, yes? And I'd go, you do know it's Halloween today, right? And they'll go, yes? And then I'd walk in, and they always appreciated that we're, you know, it's important. It's serious work. But you know what? Life's going on. And it's a day of celebration. And so they have pirate thing. Superheroes is the theme for this year's Tuesday. So I have a Batman suit. So. There'll be pictures on the NCCR website, I'm sure. Daylight savings last spring, when they had to spring forward, they all showed up in their PJs. I didn't even know this was gonna go on, but my staff showed up in their pajamas because they said they overslept. The patients love it. Ugly sweater, I already have mine for this year. This is last year, it's a good time. St. Patrick's Day, we will find a reason to have fun. And the patients are all invited to participate in this. It's not like we just spring it on them, but we'll say, hey, it's St. Patrick's Day, wear your green, and we're going to be doing some fun stuff.
Yeah.
I actually turned 60, and you see it says 03-2057. Well, everybody's number is their actual birth date, and so I was arrested for getting old, and they took my office and made it into a jail, and they had mug shots, so any patient who wanted to have their mug shot with the staff or with me, we did photos all day long. See that nurse second from the your right? 11-1-67. That's Shalene. She's turning 50 on November 1st. We already are planning her party. Everybody else will be involved. All right, on to some maybe a little more serious information. I do want to review briefly. This is the NCCRA strategic plan, and I'll compliment Ash was the one who kind of led the charge on this when he was the president of the NCCRA. The AACVPR has a strategic plan. And they went to each of us affiliates and said, you know, where are you going with your affiliate? Because as a national organization, their board got together and decided this is some of the things we want to work towards. And so Ash came back to the board and said, you know, let's sit and let's discuss where we want to take the NCCRA over like the for a 3-year period. And so this is on the website, and hopefully you've all seen this before. Explore ways to increase membership. And I see Taylor sitting up front here. She's our membership chair. And have meetings like this, you know, making opportunities for us to come together as a profession and share ideas, share information, communicate. I always tell people, I've got 3 or 4 peers, and I'll name them. James Smith in Wilmington, Stacy Greenway in Greenville at Vidant, Connie is on speed dial, Mary Ann at Chapel Hill. These are people I feel very comfortable of calling up and saying, I'm frustrated, I'm not sure what I should do. I'm having this issue. What, have you seen this before? And they're very comfortable and saying, I have the same issue and I'm not sure what we're gonna do. Or yes, I've seen this and here's how we're dealing with it. And so you learn from one another, because we don't know everything. I have a CEO I really appreciate, the president of our hospital, his name is Ray Leggett. And when I first started there, he meets all new employees. And one of the things that really put me at ease was he said, do not be afraid to make mistakes. Because he goes, you're going to make mistakes. He goes, I make 3 Whoppers about every day. And you know, when you hear the head of your hospital admitting he makes mistakes, you know, and he goes, oh yeah. He goes, but I better learn from them. We all need to learn from those mistakes. Now he said, don't just do crazy things. Think it through, do your research, talk to some people and say, you know, I think we're gonna try this. Let's try it for a period of time. And if it blows up in your face, you go, well, now we know that, you know, that didn't work. But you never know if you don't try. But if it doesn't work, you'll move on. But I think that's one of the benefits of networking and membership, engaging. And so meetings like this, the website, the Facebook, all of that is just a way of trying to keep the lines of communication open. I started, and I'm bragging about it, a letter from the president. I'm hoping, Betsy, I'm gonna encourage her to continue that. You know, there's no set policy, like you have to do it every month. Ugh. I'll write a letter. No, I think, you know, quarterly would probably be enough, or maybe every 3 to 4 months, just like, hey, what's going on? You know, what's happening on a national level? What's happening on our local level? What's the plan? Recruiting and promoting future leaders. You know, in the affiliates, a lot of times we see the same people kind of recycling the jobs. And I don't want to, I met a friend, a fellow from Oregon, and I saw him at a couple of conferences, and he always had the president ribbon on his name tag. I said, how are you president? He goes, well, it's a yearly thing, but nobody wants to do it. So they just keep reelecting me year after year after year. And I thought, well, bless your heart, you're willing to do it. Then you kind of go, really, there's nobody else in the state of Oregon. They have a new president now, by the way. And so I think it's really important that we always are looking for new coming up. And so, you know, I look at Hannah and I look at Candace, I look at Taylor, I looked at Jennifer Simmons. And they all look like student interns to me. It's because I'm getting old, all right? And so it is so heartwarming and exciting for me to see them, you know, volunteering to step up in the roles of leadership. And it's scary. And what we try to tell them is, don't worry, we're never in this alone. We're all in this together. And so if you have a question, don't hesitate to ask somebody. We're not gonna let you fail. Because if you fail, then we fail. And so that's really a good thing, that we keep that idea of new people coming on board, sharing their ideas, and moving forward. I did see the AACVPR strategic plan for 2017 to 2020. This isn't on their website yet, but I got to go to the presidential luncheon, which is really cool. You get to sit down with all the presidents and all the big muckety mucks from AACVPR, and they're all really nice people. They all become your friends, and they're kind of there to say, what can we do to help you? And so after the meeting, they flashed up a thing that looked just like ours, and then they took it down. And so I said, hey, can I get a copy of that? And I called Tom Draper, who is the past president. And he said, well, no. He said, we showed it to you, but it's still some wordsmithing being done to it. But he goes, here's the gist of it. Here's the take home message. The 3 things that they're looking at in the next 3 years on a national level is membership. So as you may know, to be a member of AACVPR is pretty cool, because you get access to all their information on their website. It's not inexpensive, but I think it's $200 a year to be a member. I do the education membership, which gets me like 10 free webinars through them. So you get lots of CEUs. So it's kind of built into that cost. And I think that's $250. But they're really looking at an increasing membership. We had 1,102 people at this year's meeting, the largest national meeting they've ever had. So I think they're heading in the right direction. Correct me if I'm wrong, isn't about 50% of their affiliates now are what they call joint affiliates. So if you become a member of your affiliate, you actually become a member of AACVPR. It's all in one. We are separate. And that's something the board could consider in the future. Do we want to become a joint affiliate or keep our own affiliate as our own membership? And if you want to become a member of AACVPR, that's your prerogative, that's your option. Value-based care, I'm sure you've all heard that term before, and there's some information on our website about that. And with certification, I know I just recertified, thank the Lord, because I've got 3 years now, because another building in pulmonary starting in 2018 is outcomes, which are basically asking the question, are you actually providing the service that we're telling our third-party payers we're providing? Are we showing outcomes, value-based care? And so they actually have some guidelines that they're asking us to meet in order to be certified. Are your 6-minute walks increasing for pulmonary patients? I can't remember, is it 50 meters or something? There's a minimum. If you can't get people to increase, and we're talking average, there's always gonna be those individuals who can't do it. That's all right, that's the way it is. Some people are gonna just, you know, improve by leaps and bounds. So they've set some minimal guidelines to say that my program is efficient in providing this service, and here are our outcomes to prove it. Science and outcomes. You know, when you go to the national meeting, that's kind of what I really go for, is to hear what, I don't have time to go online, and, or I say I don't have time. I let the experts go online and present to me the information that I can take back and use, because they've already done a lot of the research that proves this is what works the best. With PAD coming on board, that's really exciting. And I think if you haven't, you know, I haven't started our program yet. We're looking at, right after the first of the year, how do you do it? What's the science behind it? How should we be, what should our policies and procedures look like? And so that's where AACVPR is really placing their focus on providing that for us. If you don't have these two websites on your favorites, you know, my computer, you just start typing A and it'll pop up the website, or NC and it'll pop up the website because it remembers. And so I try to go to both of those at least weekly. Sometimes I don't, I just get too busy, but I really try to keep an eye on it. And if you do Facebook, that's really cool, because then you get the little announcement that something was just new, was added, some information. Last but not least, if I can figure out how to do this. I did just send to Hannah yesterday, and I won't even bring it up, 3 research, and we'll forward those out. I don't know how to get them to come up here. When you go to the national meeting, you have access to all the presenters' presentations. Murray Lowe's, I can't remember the other two. There was one on PAD and one by Jennifer Eppen from Minnesota on exercise prescription for the pulmonary patient. I went to those 3 sessions. I thought they were excellent. And their PowerPoints have been made available to me to use as reference. And so I've sent those to Hannah. And I think what we'll do is send those to all of you and make them available if you want to. What I really liked about those 3 presentations were that, you know, sometimes you can look at somebody's PowerPoints and really not understand what they were trying to get across or what they're talking about. These are all laid out in such a way that I think you'll gain a lot of information if you take the time. Murray Lowe's is like 126 slides. Yeah, I was gonna print that for y'all, it's like 46 pages. And so I said, yeah, that's not gonna happen. And so if you wanna print it, go right ahead. But I think that's, you know, sharing of ideas and sharing of information is really what we're all about. I appreciate your time of being here today. I hope you all just kind of sit back and relax. You know, our days can be pretty hectic, and maybe they get, I don't ever want to say routine, because there's no really routine days, but these days really cherish when you get to get away from your office and you get to hang out with a bunch of cool people. You know, and we all kind of understand, because really when you talk to other professions, I hate to mention, you know, even the physicians, sometimes don't know what we do and how we do it. And that's really frustrating. So, you know, that's why we get shit in here. We all kind of have this common understanding. And it's a chance to kind of hang out with people just like yourself and learn from one another. I also want to just make sure, take the opportunity to try to, and I loved what Hannah said, reach out, talk to somebody you really don't know. I'm sitting over there with Nicole. She seems really nice. And so, I was talking to Taylor and our connections to Newberg. You know, that's so cool that she knows my boss. So I'm gonna be really nice to her. she probably has his phone number. But you know, just those it's a small world and how we're all interconnected that way. So I don't know if you're gonna bring up our next speaker then. Good, because I don't even remember.